working in and through your life to produce Christ-likeness does that on the basis of faith. You believe what God has said in His Word, and then you act upon it. You obey it. We often say, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And that's so simple, but that's true. We're justified by faith. We're sanctified by faith. Problem with world is, and even within some believers, is there's this understanding that works, you know. And my pride, I've got to do something. Well, you do something, but you yield to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You allow Christ to live His life through you. So it's through a life of surrender and obedience. And so we're going to look at this matter of faith. I read somewhere where the critics of believers like you and me, and the critics of the Scripture and the concept of faith, one person said, faith is illogical belief in the occurrence of the impossible. Illogical belief in the occurrence of the impossible. Well, they've ruled it out by definition, right? I mean, if that's the proper definition, description of faith, including biblical faith, hey, but that's not true. Faith's not superstition. It's not wishful thinking. It's not that at all. So let's take a look then. And as you can see in our outline, I've got a long list of descriptions of faith that we're going to look at as we go through this chapter. First of all, look at faith brings assurance. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's an interesting word in the original. It simply means to stand under. The word substance is upostasis, that which stands underneath something. You look at a big building. What stands underneath that big skyscraper? Foundation. And a deep foundation, right? The higher up you go, the deeper down you must go, right, to support it. You need a foundation. And that is what faith is. It is the substance of things hoped for. In the New International Version, anybody got any NIVs with you? In the NIV, it says, it's being sure of what we hope for. Being sure. There's a sense of certainty there, being sure. Let me just take you to Romans chapter 8 in this connection. Come with me back to Romans chapter 8. And look with me at verses 18 to 25. It says, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And biblical faith does that. It's the substance of things hoped for. Do you believe that one day, if you should die, that you will be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Do you believe that the Lord may come one day, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Is that your hope? You believe that your loved ones who have died will be resurrected and have an immortal, incorruptible body, no longer subject to disease and death? But have we seen that? Can be displayed in any laboratory? No. But that faith has, there's a certainty and assurance. People have said, you know, faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take him, or forsaking all, I trust him, just using that acrostic. Very, very simple. But the whole thing is your life based upon biblical faith? It is the substance, the foundation that things hope for. And that means faith comes by hearing, and how? Hearing by the word of God. That is, I read the scripture. The Spirit of God who directed these men to write these 66 books works in your heart to foster this belief, this trust, this assurance that what you read is in fact true, because the God of truth, who never lies, says this. And you trust him. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. And so we have that assurance. And that's what this author is saying. And as we saw in Romans 8, he combines that hope with the idea of endurance. Back in chapter 10, verse 32, remember this? Recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Verse 35, don't cast away your confidence. Walk by faith. That's what we must do. Second point in this whole area, and actually it's under assurance, is the next phrase where it says, it is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. This word evidence is an interesting word. It's a legal term which deals with the idea of conviction. In John 16, verse 8, the Lord Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would convict or reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And maybe you've heard me say this before. The Holy Spirit is like God's prosecuting attorney in a courtroom. And he points out, and he's striving to bring about a sense of your own sinfulness and your moral guilt and your culpability, your accountability, and that you are guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. He does that in bringing people to faith in Christ. In the same way, God, by his Spirit, brings about this conviction within you that when you read this, absent from the body, present with the Lord, that simple statement, that you believe that it's true beyond any reasonable doubt. You probably have heard that phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's pretty simple, but yet, isn't that what's involved? You don't have to be a theologian to be saved by faith or to walk by faith. All you have to do is trust God according to his word. And allow the Spirit of God to do that. It's also found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says that all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. It's the word reproof. For correction and for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, and reproof, conviction. And that is the Word of God, which the Spirit of God gave through holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God guided these men to write down God's word in human language using vocabulary and various grammatical styles and so on. The Spirit of God takes his word. That's where faith comes. It doesn't come apart from the word. It comes through the word. And as that happens, it increases your devotion and allegiance to Christ. He said, search the Scriptures, they testify of me. And the more you look in the Scripture, the more you see him, the more the Spirit of God will produce that Christ-likeness in you. So, the faith brings assurance. Let's go to the next one. Look at verse 2. I don't have this as a separate point, but it comes in this same connection. It says, for by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, we're going to see this word testimony quite often. Sometimes the word is translated testimony. Sometimes it's translated as witness, like in verse 4, speaking about Abel, through which he obtained witness. So testimony or witness, same thing. The idea is that faith, genuine faith, as God is working it out in and through your life, can be observed by others. They can see it. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony, a good witness. And we're going to see a number of Old Testament characters who did that. They trusted God, they believed God, they walked by faith, and as they walked by faith, they obeyed, they surrendered, and people saw what their belief in God accomplished, as we're going to go through this chapter. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and we find that following through with all the descendants of Abraham. I guess the question here is, how many people can testify to the fact that you and I are people of faith, that we trust God in the bad times as well as the good times? When we accepted Christ as Savior and got saved, and when there were difficulties. Because biblical faith is strong. Now, it's not faith in faith. Faith must always be in God. And I think a lot of times we like that person who says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. And we need to realize that our faith is in him. Because biblical faith has an object, and that object is our wonderful God and our Savior. So he says, for by it the elders obtain a good testimony. Now, let's take a look at verse 3. Faith brings understanding. Now, he takes us back here. Faith is not only going to look forward, but it's also going to look backward. Faith's not only going to look to the future with all these wonderful events that are going to take place that God has reserved for you and for me. But it takes us backward. Look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Biblical faith brings understanding. That's point number B there. By faith we understand. Now notice how it says, by faith we understand. It doesn't say by understanding we believe. See that? Which comes first, you know, the horse or the cart. By faith we understand. What do we understand? That the worlds were framed by the word of God. That takes you all the way back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, does it not? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be, and there was. Is anybody back there taking notes? Anybody with their camera phones taking shots? Nope. In the beginning, God created. No one created God. The Creator God created. And He created by simply saying, let there be. He spoke the worlds into existence. His power is manifested through His word. Let there be. And you then have those 6 days of creation. And then God ceased His work of creation, but He continued to work at sustaining what He created. But His creative activity was over. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And as our astronomers get more powerful telescopes, and as we send out great rockets way out into our outer space, you know, Star Wars and Star Trek and all that sort of stuff, and they find things that they had never seen before, God made that too, right? They're just finding out what God made way back then. God created. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen, and what do we see, folks? We see the sun, moon, and stars. We see trees. And in our backyard, we see a rabbit, and we see a young buck deer going through. And I try to get Glory to come out and see the nice little white skunk I saw out there. I mean, she had a really fluffy little white tail. A lot of white on this skunk. And then when we drove over on our road, we saw one that looked just like it. I don't know if it's the same one or not. Still trying to figure out Lou, who's going after all of my, nibbling on my green beans. Occasionally eating some of my green tomatoes. Right? But these wonderful animals. God is in charge. God created. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, I think you all realize that as man has advanced, not only with telescopes, but with microscopes, and we have these magnificent things now where you can look right down into the cells, look at all the various things. With a naked eye, you can't see that. It's amazing how our bodies are framed. And David said it right when he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he said that about 1,000 years before the time of Christ, which is amazing. Right? So, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. I want to just take you to John chapter 20 here. John chapter 20. Now, we may be laughed at for this, but ultimately, folks, people are not laughing at you, they're laughing at God. Because God has described how we approach Him. know, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor either have entered into the heart of man, into the imagination of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There is a world awaiting us that man has never seen. But look at John chapter 20, and look at verses 24 to 29 with me as we close out our time together. Remember, this is after the resurrection of Christ. It says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Now his argument there was, seeing is believing. I won't believe until I see. I won't believe until I touch. Well, 8 days later, the disciples were again inside. Thomas this time is with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut. That's for emphasis. And then our Lord appears in the midst, so he comes right through the door, right through the wall. And he said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, and he reveals to Thomas what Thomas said 8 days earlier. There's no indication that any of those disciples ever saw Jesus in that period of 8 days and said, "Hey, this is what Thomas said. You better come and show yourself to Thomas." No. I think it's a demonstration of his omniscience that he knew that. He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And then Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus said this, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But now look at this. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. We have not seen the resurrected Christ. We haven't seen the marks of crucifixion in his that are even present in his resurrected body. But the Lord says here, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that's our message. God wants us to trust him and to trust his word. We're living in a day where people are very cynical and very skeptical. But we cannot change the message of the gospel. What must I do to be saved? It's so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There was no way Paul could take that Philippian jailer and show to him a video of the crucifixion and the resurrection. You might make films, but that's not the real thing, is it? There's no way. And he comes by faith. Folks, we are a company of faith, and we've got to trust God more day by day. And there's a simple way. You've got to be in this word and read it and say, "Lord, I don't understand. Help me to understand. Help me to trust you." Even when I read these wonderful things, Lord, show me I can trust you. I do believe this. When I used to be department chair at Cedarville, I had to interview people, you know, who wanted to come and become a member of the Bible department. Of course, they were expecting some big theological question or something like that. And I would simply say to them, "Well, what do you think about that that axe head that came off the handle and it floated?" Yeah. What do you think really happened? They better say, "I believe it floated," even though an iron axe head doesn't float on water. If they said, well, you know what, that person is gone. Just simple things like that. How about that donkey that talked to Balaam? Donkeys don't talk. Just simple things like that. And it tells a lot about the person's heart and perception of this word. Right? Let's pray. Our Father, our God, thank you for saving us by faith. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God. We pray, our Father, that we might trust you day by day. Help us as we read the scripture to believe what you have said and look forward and to endure, yes, criticism and suffering because we trust you more than the dictates of fallen, unsaved men. Watch over us tonight as we go home. Give us safety, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Take care.